Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Anyone else but me.
We will talk with an arborist this hour and get some tree planting and tree care advice on this Arbor Day. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, April 26th. On Arbor Day, we're encouraged to plant trees for a variety of reasons that these folks are singing about in this Arbor Day PSA.
Trees are terrific!
Who perches on the branches, lives among the leaves. Friendly Carly Cardinal, talking about trees.
Sometimes people take for granted about the best things ever planted, but they should be enchanted, should appreciate their trees.
Trees, trees, Carly.
So, do you think trees are terrific? Are you going to plant a tree? If not today, sometime this spring? Do you have some questions about trees for our guest? Or maybe some recommendations for me, because I need to plant at least one new tree this spring to replace a tree that was down by the heavy snows this past winter. Join in as we talk about trees. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Bob Gensmer. He is an ISA certified arborist at Buckley, the Tree Care Specialist in Mequon. He is a member of the Wisconsin Arborists Association. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining
us
again.
Happy Arbor Day.
Yeah, happy Arbor Day to you too. So, why do we celebrate Arbor Day?
Well, Arbor Day is an annual observance that celebrates the role of trees in our lives and promotes proper tree planting and proper tree care. It was first observed as a holiday in 1872 in Nebraska, and a gentleman named J. Sterling Morton, who was a journalist and an editor for a Nebraska newspaper, he and his wife moved from Detroit to the Nebraska Territory, and they missed all the trees they had back in their native Detroit, so they decided to develop a holiday that promoted tree planting, and that's how it started. And they actually estimated that at first Arbor Day, they planted approximately 1 million trees.
Wow, that's something. So that would make a big difference. But what difference can one tree, planting one tree, actually make?
Well, it makes a big difference, not only the beauty, enjoying the beauty of the tree, but trees, through their natural biological process, photosynthesis, actually produce oxygen, which obviously we need to survive, and they also produce carbohydrates, which are used throughout the cycle of life by plants and other plants and animals to survive as well.
And they're pretty.
Yes, absolutely.
So, is now a good time to plant trees? I would think not in far northern Wisconsin, where there's still a lot of snow on the ground.
Mm. Yes, from what I've heard on the news, there's quite a bit of snow up there, so it'll be a little while for them to be able to plant up there. But southern Wisconsin, yes, this is a good time. Even though we're having a slow spring, this is a really good time to get the trees in.
So can trees be planted any time of the year, or is the spring the best time?
They can be planted any time. There's certain times of year that are more challenging. Winter in Wisconsin, in our climate, would be very difficult, but late fall, they can be planted.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best time would be spring or fall, depending on the species. Some species are only dug at certain times in the nursery, so availability might be an issue. You can plant through the summer. Water becomes a more critical element, monitoring the amount of water that they get, particularly when we have a summer like we did last year. So that's something that needs to be taken into account when you're going to plant. But spring, I think, is probably the best time.
But right now in southern Wisconsin, it's okay to plant a tree right now.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you plant a tree?
Good question. Planting the tree properly can avoid a lot of problems down the road. The first thing that I always suggest to people is make sure you put the right tree in the right place. And what I mean by that is you need to evaluate the site ahead of time and see what obstacles you need to work around in addition to picking out the tree that has the specific characteristics you're interested in, whether it's fruiting, flowering, fall color, winter interest, if it's a deciduous tree or an evergreen tree. Things on the site that should be looked at are where the wires, overhead wires or underground wires, buildings, sidewalks, streets, driveways. You need to make sure that the plant you're selecting will have enough room to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And typically what I suggest is find out what the nurseries say the mature height and spread of the tree crown is going to be so that you can make sure that that tree is going to fit in that spot. And then also looking at the soil on the site, the drainage, the soil type, the amount of sun and shade that's in that spot would also affect the success of the trees that are put in. And then the other thing that a lot of people don't think about is what's called seed provenance, which is important for hardiness. If the trees are grown from seed, you want to make sure that seeds collected locally or at least in the same hardiness zone that you're going to be planting the tree in, because there's some tree species that have a very wide range with their natural habitat. And if you get a tree that, so, and a good example would be like a red maple, they grow from hardiness zones 3 through 9, basically from Canada to Florida. And if you would get a red maple that came from a southern state planted here, and we have typical, I guess there's no such thing as typical, but a colder Wisconsin winter, that tree may have difficulty surviving. It's usually early fall and late spring freezes that affect trees that are not from the same seed provenance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that is important to consider when you're selecting your tree as well.
Yeah, lots to consider, and I'm sure we'll go into some more specifics as we go along this hour. But once we made that determination, this is the tree I want to plant, are there special things to keep in mind as you're actually planting that tree?
Yes. Yeah, the first thing you'd want to do is contact Digger's Hotline to find out where the utilities are, because you don't want to be planting the tree near those. And then when you dig your hole, digging a proper hole is the key to the success of the planting of the tree. And the hole should be shallow and broad. We recommend that the hole is about 3 times the diameter of the root ball, but only as deep as the root ball. So this would be if you're getting a tree that's bald and burlapped, or if it's a tree that's in a container, you would make that hole 3 times the diameter of that ball or that container, and then only as deep as it is. Once you do that, then the next thing you'd want to do is identify the trunk flare or the root flare on the tree, basically where the trunk comes down and then starts to widen out. If you look at trees out in the woods, the way Mother Nature plants them, you're going to see that root flare or that trunk flare. So that part of the tree should be planted right at ground level. So you don't want that too deep. It's better to have it a little bit high rather than too deep, but you want the root flare as close to grade as you can get it. Once you identify that, then you would have your hole dug, you'd put the tree in there, and you'd fill the hole about a third of the way with the backfill that you dug out of the hole. And you don't want to tamp it down, but you do need to firm that up. Usually what works is to put the soil in there and then water it and let the water settle it, because that'll get all the air pockets out of the soil. And then what we recommend is taking the top portion of the burlap off and or the wire basket, if it has a wire basket on it, just to allow those roots to grow out of the root ball into the existing soil.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do that, you would finish off filling in the hole and then water the tree. And we recommend staking the tree only if necessary, if there's a reason the tree would need to be staked. If not, we would not stake, because actually the tree moving with the wind does help it develop stem taper more quickly.
Oh, good.
If you do stake your tree, we do recommend using a wide, flexible material for straps, not like wires or string that could potentially cut into the trunk of the tree. And you want those on opposite sides of the tree. And then after the first year of being in the ground, those should be removed. The last thing that we would recommend is to install mulch around the tree, and that could be wood chips or hardwood bark or, you know, whatever you would prefer, preferably an organic type of mulch that would be about 2 to 4 inches deep but not piled up against the trunk or the root flares of the tree. And then the last and most important thing would be to continue to monitor water for the tree to help it survive the first year.
Yeah, so especially a newly planted tree, how much water does it need?
That's a good question. It really is somewhat determined by the kind of weather we're having, but normally you'd want to be watering at least once or twice a week if we're not getting rain. And probably what a good rule of thumb would be, if it's a tree, for each inch of trunk diameter, you'd probably be wanting to give it between 6 and 8 gallons of water. So if it's a 2-inch tree, in one watering, you'd want to be giving it 12 to 16 gallons of water.
Boy, it's a miracle my serviceberry survived. I'm not sure I did all that. But I see buds coming out on it this spring. I planted it last spring. It was a little Charlie Brown tree, and the buds are coming out, so apparently it's gonna make it.
Good.
Yeah,
sounds like it will.
Yeah, we'll talk more about caring for our trees and selecting our trees and planting our trees on this Arbor Day, and welcome your questions. 1-800-642-1234. Are you thinking of planting a tree? Do you need any tips for deciding what to plant? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Checking the weather forecast for today is going to be partly cloudy, very mild. Scattered rain in northern Wisconsin this morning and central Wisconsin this afternoon. Highs today statewide in the 60s. Tonight, partly cloudy with some areas of fog in the northwest, low near 40. And tomorrow, sunny, quite mild, highs once again in the 60s. On Sunday, sunny and even milder still, with high temperatures getting near 70 degrees. Coming up a little bit later on the Ideas Network, it's the Week in Review after 8. We'll have two guests from different perspectives talking about the week's top news stories. And it's your views on the news after 4 o'clock this afternoon. You can call in and talk about the news story this week that mattered most to you. We are talking about planting trees on this Arbor Day and welcoming your questions for our guest expert, welcoming your recommendations of trees that we all might want to consider. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Bob Gensmer. He is an ISA-certified arborist at Buckley, the Tree Care Specialists in Mequon, a member of the Wisconsin Arborist Association. Buckley Tree Care Specialists also have offices in New Berlin and Sauk City under the name Estate, the Tree Care Specialists. And Bob, what does ISA certified mean?
That's the International Society of Arboriculture, and there is a voluntarily run certification that basically anybody in our industry can take the test, and it shows a basic level of arboricultural knowledge. So if you're a certified arborist, you've taken and passed that test. And then it requires you to, through education, going to seminars, classes, courses, get CEUs to maintain that. So every three years you have to renew that through the credits that you're accumulating.
So get it. Yeah, you know your trees.
Yeah, it says that you have a basic level of knowledge of arboriculture and tree care. So what we suggest people do is, if you have tree care questions, is try to find a ISA-certified arborist to talk to about your trees, and the best place to do that would be to go to the Wisconsin Arborist Association website, and they have a link on there for certified arborist for hire, where you can type in your county, and it'll pull up any certified arborists for hire that are in your your county that you could have them come out and take a look at your trees.
Great. I did put a link to the Arborists, Wisconsin Arborist Association's website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to check that out. We have lots of callers, so let's go to the phones. John in Grays Lake, Illinois. Hi, John.
Hi, Joy. You know, some people get lost puppies at their doorstep. I get, like, seeds and flowers from around the neighborhood.
Very nice.
And recently, in the last year, got a evergreen. And over the winter, he got clobbered by the snow, but he shot up about to maybe 18 inches to almost 20 inches. And he's right next to a sidewalk and a porch. So we want to transplant him away. We don't want to kill him. But we want to kind of know how far do we have to dig out because we have other plants in the area. And then also, are there any tricks? I'm sure some of the roots have gone under the sidewalk. Any tricks for getting it out? You know, what you just shared about planting, I think, is probably plenty of information on what to do after we get it out. But we're really worried, how do we get it out safely without injuring it?
Good question. How long has the tree been in the spot it's in right now?
At least 18 months, probably 2 years.
Okay. All right. You probably will get a good percentage of the root system on that small of a tree when you're digging. I would try to dig out, I would say, at least a foot around it. And if you can get at least a foot down. Now, the soil is going to be pretty heavy, so you want to have probably like a tarp laying there and see if you can. You're probably going to need someone else to help you with a couple shovels, is lift that root ball out of the ground and carefully get it onto the tarp. What's probably going to happen is a lot of the dirt's going to fall off and it might effectively become a bare root tree, which isn't necessarily a problem. It just means when you move it to the other hole, you'll have to carefully spread those roots out, you know, radially so that they're not, you know, twisting or turning around where they could potentially become girdling roots on the tree. It'll be tough to get all of the roots out, especially if they've gone under the sidewalk. They might break off when you dig that out, and what I'd suggest there is take a hand pruners and just make a neat cut on the ends, which will allow those roots to be able to regenerate themselves off that clean cut rather than a torn or jagged cut.
Thanks. And is there any sort of type of dirt that I, because I have a feeling I may need to add dirt when I put it back in. Is there any good dirt that I can buy to give it a better shot of living?
Generally, the backfill, that unless it's, you know, horrible soil, it's best to put the same backfill back in there. But if you need to amend, I think just a good topsoil that you mix in with the backfill is helpful. One of the problems is, that I've seen, is if it's really bad soil and you use good soil in the hole and you don't address that bad soil, at least the edge of it, particularly with very heavy clay, it effectively becomes like a potted plant because you have this real nice soil where the roots really thrive, and then they hit that hard pan of clay. It's glazed over on the edge, and they will have a tough time going out into that, and it effectively can keep a lot of the roots right in that area. So if you can mix some topsoil with the existing backfill and then kind of rough up the edges of the existing soil on the edge of the hole, that's also very helpful to get those roots to be able to grow in there.
John, thanks for the call. You're a good man for saving that tree. Patty in Burlington is with us now. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I have a question. When planting a large tree, bald and burlap, I know if you have a twine around the burlap that's nylon based that you should cut it off the trunk so it doesn't girdle it. But there are some twines that are maybe more hemp based, and do they need to be cut off the trunk? I think they might decay away, but I'm not sure.
That's a good question. They will degrade, obviously, much faster than a synthetic twine would. I still take it off. It's just my personal preference, because I have seen on some very fast-growing trees, burlap twine start to girdle the trees before it degrades. So I personally take it off.
Thanks, Patty. Stan in Cumberland is with us now. Hi, Stan.
Hello. I have an apple tree that I've been having troubles with. It's fairly new, 8 years old or so, it never has produced very well. I've heard I should have two. Should I get another one to pollinate? Is there something I can do to help this apple tree produce better?
The pollination is a pretty important factor for fruiting. It might help to get another one. The weather last year certainly didn't help with fruit production. We had trees leafing out in mid-March because it was 70 to 80 degrees, and then we did have several nights of frost in April, and many of the fruit trees were actually flowering at that time. And a lot of orchards lost up to 90% of their crops because of the weather we had last year. So you mentioned it wasn't just last year, though, so it might be helpful to have another tree to help with pollination to see if you can get some fruit production on that tree. If it's 8 years old, I would think it'd be starting to produce fruit by now.
It has. 1 year it produced 30 apples. Each year maybe one or two apples.
Okay.
Yeah. So you need
I
was going to say you do need a some other tree somewhere in the region to help with the pollination.
Yeah, that does help. I don't know that it's, you know, the only factor, but if you have room to put in another tree, it certainly wouldn't be a bad idea to try that.
Yeah. Boy, last year was a tough year for not only the fruit trees, but that snow over the winter really did a number on a number of trees in my backyard. Was this are you taking care of a lot of those kinds of problems too this time of year, Bob?
Oh, yes. I think this winter, at least in the Milwaukee area, we had 24 inches of snow in February, and we had two storms of about 10, 12 inches that were fairly close to each other and very heavy, and we suffered probably more tree damage over the winter than I've seen in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, we'll talk more about how to maybe care for our trees that may have been damaged over the winter, and we'll continue talking about tree selection, tree planting, tree care on this Arbor Day with our guest, Bob Gensmer, who is an ISA-certified arborist at Buckley, the tree care specialist in Mequon. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We'll check news and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Love's too bad and it fits you to a tea. So don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me. Don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else but me.
We will continue talking with our guest arborist this hour and get some tree planting and tree care advice on this Arbor Day in just a few minutes. But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Poet John Keats once wrote that the poetry of the earth is never dead. In honor of this week's celebration of Earth Day, writer Jill Sisson Quinn tells us why she can't stay away from the woods.
I have always been a borrower of forests. For most of my life, I borrowed a forest of locust, sassafras, and red oak, fragmented by fields of hay and feed corn. The fields led to a creek in a steep valley, easy to walk to, exhausting to walk away from. My sisters and I made domed forts there from saplings with crowsfoot carpet. When I go home for Thanksgiving, I traipse through this wood like a giant, showing up at a new neighbor's fence. He appears on the lawn. "I'm Nelson and Pat's daughter," I say. "I'm trying to get to the creek. Do you mind if I walk through your yard?" I quickly add, "I live in Wisconsin now," so he knows this won't be a daily trespass. He nods me on. I have borrowed a forest of hemlock and beech, split by a tan and orange trout stream. It was overpopulated with black bear, according to Homo sapiens. Two porcupines wintered there in a fallen tree across the steam mill trail. They moaned and grunted when I tapped the tree with a broken branch. The bounding tracks of mink in deep snow looked like pair after pair of eyes dropped along the frozen river's bank. The older I get, it seems, for whatever reason, the harder it has become to borrow my trees. I must walk great distances or drive to reach them. As an adult, I must deliberately ignore rather than simply be innocent of property lines. Currently, I borrow a linear segment of maples, oaks, and planted red pines, covering the end moraine behind my house. In spring, I trek through a farmer's field to get to the base of the ridge, a slow runner, hurtling over ridiculously close rows of soybean and corn until they grow too high to justify my intrusion. In summer, this forest is closed to me. But post-harvest, the plowed field hardens like the surface of Mars. It becomes solid, cracked, and dusty, more easily navigable. Often, a rafter of turkeys meets me at the top. Once, a badger backed into its newly dug burrow and breathed at me for half an hour. I lie down on the ground there in my winter coat, startling myself by how easy it is to fall asleep despite the cold. Eventually, I wear a deep path from the corner of my yard to the corner of the forest with my skis and snowshoes. I like to look at it from my car. I have always been a borrower of forests. I have never needed to own land, but will forever require neighboring one who does. And I promise, I won't take anything from your forest but the invisible medicine it provides.
Commentator Jill Sasson Quinn is a nature writer in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are talking about trees on this Arbor Day. Are you planning on planting a tree? If not today, sometime this spring? Do you need some advice? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are getting some advice on tree varieties and tree care, learning how to plant a tree with our guest arborist. And we welcome your questions for him. He is Bob Gensmer, an ISA-certified arborist at Buckley, the tree care specialist in Mequon, a member of the Wisconsin Arborists Association. And our next caller is Steve in Baraboo. Hi, Steve.
Good morning to both of you. Good
morning.
So I have a silver maple that we planted 30 years ago. Right now it must be 4 feet in diameter at the base. I'm guessing 50 feet tall. Really healthy, never had any splits or limbs taken off in the snow or the ice, but it's big, and it has probably 6 or 8, you don't want to call them trunks, but they're awfully big to be branches, 6 or 8 branches that have to be at least a foot, maybe 14 inches at the base. Where they split off. And I'm wondering whether or not one prunes these things. I see some people getting their trees, they look more like cut to the bone, down to tiny little nubbins. But does one prune a silver maple? And if so, how aggressively?
That's a good question. You can over prune trees. The thing that you need to remember is the leaves of the trees are the food factories. That's where the tree makes its food. So if you take too much leaf surface area away from that tree, it can create some major problems for the tree. On a tree like that, what I would suggest is removing deadwood, crossing rubbing branches, any broken branches, and then if there's any water sprouts or suckers in the tree. And then if needed, if there's reasons to take some limbs off to raise it over the lawn or over the house, that might make sense. But general rule when we prune trees is we don't want to take any more than 25% of the live material out at any one pruning. And that will vary also depending on the species of the tree and the age of the tree. An older tree, you're going to even remove less live material from the tree. You're probably mostly going to be focusing on taking deadwood out of it. As far as those multiple trunks in there, particularly on a silver maple, I would not recommend going in and taking one of those out unless there was a really good reason to do that. Silver maples are a tree that doesn't deal with large wounds like that very well, and it may provide an opportunity for decaying it into the tree. So I would have to have a really compelling reason to take a big limb off a silver maple of that size rather than just doing the pruning I already mentioned.
All right, Steve.
Okay. Part of the reason I asked is because silver maples, if I'm correct, aren't they much softer than many of the other maples? So more prone to splitting, more prone to ice damage, things like that?
They are, and that would be another reason where pruning a big limb off of that and introducing decay in the tree could create some major problems down the road for the tree. One of the other fascinating things that they found through research is that all those small interior branches and leaves on the tree actually help reduce storm damage in the tree because all those little branches moving back and forth in the wind actually have a dampening effect and dissipate a lot of that energy or that force on the tree and actually make the tree less susceptible to damage. So if you overprune a tree, in many cases you're going to actually make it more susceptible to storm damage because that dampening effect is gone.
Yeah, so do we prune trees in the spring, or aren't we supposed to wait until after they flower or leaf?
It depends on the species of trees. But most trees you can prune any time of year. There are better times than others for certain species. Like a flowering tree, you probably would want to wait till after it's done flowering or do it in the dormant season. You wouldn't want to do it when it's flowering because typically the flowering doesn't last that long to begin with, so you don't want to go in there and disturb it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some trees like elms and oaks that have to be done in the dormant season because of some diseases that they're susceptible to. So normally an elm or an oak, we start looking at pruning those in mid to late October and try to have those all done by the end of March.
Yeah, but what
a tree that we would be done in the winter.
If we have tree damage because of the bad winter, we actually had trees completely snapped off. So we pruned those. My husband anyway, just the other weekend, ended up hauling these big limbs and full sized trees that snapped in the snow to the terrace recently. It was really kind of sad. There was so many nice trees that were damaged in our yard. What would I do want to know what people, is there anything we should keep in mind this spring as we're surveying this damage?
Well, it would be good to have a certified arborist come out and look at that because there may be things that are not noticeable to the untrained eye that could be pointed out or that may affect the long-term health of the tree. If you have damage in a tree, that's something that you will have to deal with now, regardless of the species. If it was an elm or oak, as we get closer to when the leaves are out, you probably would want to paint the cut to try to reduce its attractiveness to the little beetles that carry the fungus diseases on them that the trees are susceptible to. Painting cuts is not something that we recommend anymore. However, if you have to take a limb off of an elm or oak during the growing season, that is a good idea to do that.
What do we do about the arborvitae, these really tall, tall arborvitae that were slumped over because of the snow? And they've recovered some, but they're still kind of droopy. What do you do about that?
Again, they'd have to be evaluated to see what happened to them and if they could be pulled back together. What we've done for a number of our clients is we've actually cabled them back together with small cables where we're using small screw eyes or eye bolts and small wire where we actually screw the screw eyes into the branches and run the cable in between them and actually pull the plant back together. In some cases, we're actually pounding in tall fence posts that are green, so they're not real visible, in the middle of those plants, and then cabling the plants or the stems back to those fence posts as well. Sometimes it works fairly well where the hedge or the individual plant actually looks somewhat normal when we're done. In other cases, because there's limbs that have broken out, there's still pretty major holes in the plants.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to get an arborist over to the house. Ron in Manitowoc is with us. Hello, Ron.
Thanks. Bob, I have a 20-year-old plantation on Kewaunee clay soil. And on the hillsides, the white pines are growing very slowly, and needles have a yellow tint. Soil sample indicates sufficient nitrogen and potassium and phosphorus. pH is 7.8. Would you have any thoughts as far as increasing the rate of growth? Thanks.
The pH sounds pretty high. It's not ideal for white pines. They tend to like soils that would be a little bit more acidic. They will grow on a little heavier clay soil, but if the pH is too high, you will get chlorosis or yellowing of the needles, which is caused by a deficiency of some micronutrients, and that relates back to the pH of the soil. The pH of the soil actually will affect what nutrients are available or how much of those nutrients are available. Sometimes iron and zinc and manganese are available in the soil, or they're in the soil, but they're not in a form that's readily available for the roots to absorb them because of the pH. So it's possible that there might be an issue there with chlorosis because your pH is 7.8, which is a little bit high for white pines. So fertilizing with a fertilizer that would have some micronutrients in there might be helpful, but I think you said, I don't recall from the sample you read if you gave me the micronutrient levels, but that might be something to do some more research on.
We are talking about planting and caring for our trees on this Arbor Day with Bob Gensmer, who is an arborist at Buckley, the tree care specialists in Mequon. If you have a question for him, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be partly cloudy, very mild today. Scattered rain in northern Wisconsin this morning and in central Wisconsin this afternoon. Highs today will be in the 60s. Stay with us coming up on the Ideas Network. After 7 o'clock, we'll talk with the author of Cure Your Child with Food, talking about the connection between nutrition and childhood ailments, coming up after 7. Right now, we are getting some advice on caring for our trees with arborist Bob Gensmer, and our next caller is Jeff in Portage. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Very good. What tree issue are you dealing with?
Well, I tell you, I've got some elderly apple trees, four of them, that are in my backyard on my farm, and they still produce apples, but they've never been pruned, and they're about 30 feet tall. A friend who is a plant person but not a tree person told me these definitely need to be pruned in order to keep them healthy and producing. My question is whether or not, A, I can still prune them yet this year, because I know it would be a major pruning, and any tips that your guest might have for rehabilitation.
Elderly apple trees, Bob.
Okay. I think I would probably suggest waiting because we're so close to bud break and leafing out here, and it is going to be fairly warm this weekend where you may actually have buds open up and leaves start to come out. And doing that major pruning now would be pretty stressful on the tree because it's just getting ready to push a lot of stored energy into popping all those buds open. So you may want to wait till this coming winter to do it. Pruning apple trees for fruit production is much different than pruning a tree that is for shade and beauty in your yard. It's kind of hard to explain on the radio, but all that upright growth is what you're going to be taking out and trying to have basically like a basic framework that the branches with the fruit spurs on would be on that would be producing the apples. It's something you probably want to do some research on or see if you can find somebody that has done it that could do it for you. It's definitely different than pruning a tree in the yard.
On Facebook, Pam says, last week, my father planted a one-inch peach tree in my yard where it will receive a lot of sun. Any suggestions to help it grow? When should I expect peaches? If it's 1 inch tall, I suspect it'll be a while, Bob.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while before they get fruit on there, probably 4 or 5 years. The best thing to do to help the tree out is proper watering and mulching. If it hasn't had a mulch ring put around it, that would be helpful to keep the lawnmowers and string trimmers away from the base of the tree. And it might be a tree that putting some hardware cloth around in the winter to keep the rabbits and the meadow mice or voles away from, that might also be a good idea to protect it during the winter.
Let's go now to Kate in Cornet. Hi, Kate.
Hi. I call you because we have 2 really large established mulberry trees, and we noticed yesterday that on the north side of the trees, all of the bark is almost completely gone. And we're wondering what the problem is and if there's anything we could do to save the trees, because they've been really good at producing a lot of fruit.
Ooh. Is that a deer or critter eating that, do you think, Bob?
It is. Does it look like there's new damage there, or is it just like bark pieces, that flaps of bark that are falling off?
Oh, it's just kind of gone, and it goes all the way up. They're probably 40 feet tall,
oh,
30,
wow.
40 feet tall, and so it's just kind of gone on the whole back side of both trees, and it's not flying around anywhere. It's like it wore off almost.
Okay. It sounds like there may have been some old injuries there, and the cambium or the growing layer of cells in that area was dead, but the bark over the top of it was still intact. And as that tree has grown in diameter over the years, since that bark is dead, it's starting to actually, you know, come off now. Is the wood underneath it solid?
Yes. It's not rotted or anything. It's just, like, light-colored because it's the inside of the tree.
Okay. I would say that there's really nothing to do with that other than monitor it. If you would start to see, you know, new cracks in there or mushrooms growing in there, which could indicate that there's decay in there, then you may want to have a certified arborist evaluate the tree and see what's going on with it. But it sounds like there's some wounds that were, you know, significant at some point, but the tree has adapted to what's happened to it and it seems to be tolerating it.
Good luck, Kate. Try to get one more in or so. Jim in Suamico. Hi, Jim. We're almost out of time. If you have a brief question.
Sure. Basically, I'm not sure if the gentleman knows the type of soil or subsoil that's in Suamico, but it's very sandy. Does he have any suggestions for it? This would be planting a tree, type of tree that would take there, plus there's plenty of sunlight in the summertime that hits the yard. Thank you.
All right. Sandy soil and plenty of sunlight, Bob?
Well, I think there's a lot of trees that would work well in there, and if he looks in the woods around there, he'll probably see some species that would work well there, white pines, red pines, red oaks, white oaks. Those are all probably trees that would do fairly well in that type of soil.
Well, I let our listeners ask all the questions, even though I wanted to pick your brain for a selection for myself. But maybe I'll just leave this on this Arbor Day with, if we think we want to plant a tree for whatever reason, where should we start in our final minute in deciding what tree to plant?
I would determine what characteristics you're looking for, and also, again, carefully evaluate your site, and then you can get good advice from a nursery on plants that would fit those requirements for you and at least give you some choices on what might work well, and then you can choose between those which one would fit best on your property.
And thanks for all the advice this hour, Bob. I am going to get an arborist over to the house so we can figure out what to do with my backyard. Thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Bob Gensmer is an ISA-certified arborist at Buckley, the tree care specialist in Mequon. Buckley Tree Care Specialists also have offices in New Berlin and Sauk City under the name Estate, the Tree Care Specialists. He's a member of the Wisconsin Arborist Association. And we have provided a link to the Wisconsin Arborists Association website on the Drake Hardeen Show Facebook page. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for producing this program. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for on-air production and direction. And thanks to on-air producer Jane Rotunda. I'm Joy Cardin. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
So don't sit under the apple tree with anyone else.